Continue our reading of the book of Romans. Today we come to Romans chapter 8, and I'll read verses 1 to 11. I've said it several times in our study of Romans. This is a great passage of Romans. Well, this is one of the great chapters of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And by the way, you'll find that in your Pew Bible on page 1200. Chapter 7 is where Paul talks about the inability in the power of the flesh to be led to righteousness by the law. The law without the Spirit, it provokes sin, he said. It actually drew him to despair. It not only made him see how sinful he was, it actually prompted more sinfulness. And that chapter comes to a culmination at the end. He despairs of himself, laying hold only of Christ. Actually, this was in our prayer of confession today. He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, he starts right off in chapter 8 with the first reason why Jesus does what the law cannot do. "For there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The sinner of Romans 7, who is not able to keep the law, who finds himself in a lifelong internal war, someone like you, always struggling and never able to transcend sinful desires, in Christ, there is no condemnation for that person because of the cross of the Lord Jesus and justification through faith alone. But he goes on and he says, what the law could not do, weakened by the flesh, the problem's not the law, the problem's me. The Spirit of God can do. And it's not only that I'm not condemned. It's not only that I'm justified. But I am also sanctified. Look at verse 4. What a momentous statement this is. "In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now he's saying that the Father sent his Son, and through the Son, the Spirit into our lives, so that we would be justified. But we also would be sanctified. And that sanctification is going to look like an outwardly, practically godly life. Now, I have to say that this is a controversial verse. Many Reformed people will take verse 4 as not speaking about the Holy Spirit enabling us to live a practically righteous life, but they will say this is more justification talk. When he says, "in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us," that is imputed righteousness only, dealing with justification. In fact, whenever I get a new Romans commentary, I go straight to that verse to see whether it's any good or not. Because we have transitioned out of justification. And the plain language of the text says that being born again makes a difference in your life and in my life. And it praise the Lord that the wretched sinner that I am of Romans 7, that there's no condemnation for me. What good news it is that I'm justified through faith alone. But my friends, it is also good news that as the Spirit of God works in and through our lives, we are able to fulfill the law. Not perfectly, we're not being justified by the law, but we are able to be practically righteous people. And he goes on and he works it out in the rest of the passage. There's a great dichotomy. You have the flesh on the one hand, life without the regenerating work of the Spirit in your life. And then you have the Spirit on the other hand. By the way, there's some great statements of total depravity here. Look at verses 7 and 8. "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." Shows you that the unregenerate person is not able to seek God. Verse 8, "those in the flesh cannot," not just will not, "cannot please God." Well, life in the flesh is futile. What a wonderful thing that when you come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are regenerated and the Holy Spirit of Christ dwells in you, and you have these great statements at the end. "If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." What an encouragement for us. By grace alone, the good news that I am forgiven my sins through the blood of the Savior born in the Bethlehem manger. But you know, he is reigning now. And he's reigning in our lives through the Spirit of God. And as we are born again and as his Spirit works through the means of grace, We are led by the Spirit, and we are empowered to live above the life of sin we have previously known. Praise be to the Lord. Well, let me read the passage. Listen now to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Romans 8, 1-11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong, the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. May God be praised through the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen.